94.7 The Wave. I'm Pat Prescott. Thanks so much for listening. I have a very special guest in the studio. It is my pleasure to introduce you to her. She is an incredible singer. She's a vocalist, a songwriter, a pianist, an arranger, and a producer. You only look like you're in your 20s, so I don't know. You've been very, very busy so far.
I'll take that.
Her name is Shaleah, and if you don't know Shaleah, you're going to be hearing a lot about her in the days to come and seeing her as well on television. And we welcome you to the studios. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm so honored to be here. I just love you and your show, so I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours, too, so we got our little mutual admiration society going here. I first became aware of Shaleah through a mutual friend of ours, Kirk Whalum, an incredible saxophone player and just a great all-around human being who I love dearly. And he was in the studio with Norman Brown and Rick Braun working on, I think it was their second or third BWB project. And Shaleah was one of the vocalists that they used on the record. Yeah. I was in the studio the day that she cut her tracks, and they had been Kirk had been telling me, oh, Shaleah this, Shaleah that, Shaleah. I said, well, I can't wait to meet her, and I met her. She's absolutely beautiful. And then I got a chance to hear her sing, and I was so impressed. Oh, and since then, have been a fan and have followed you and have heard much of your work on a lot of the collaborations you've done. You are a willing collaborator, which I think is a very good thing.
Yeah, you got to be in this business, absolutely.
But I admire the fact that already in a young career that you have made some really nice inroads in a lot of different arenas, R&B, jazz, and gospel come to mind. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how this all started for you. Where did the love for music come from, and when did you know that this was going to be it for you?
Oh, man, music is really all I know and all I remember. My earliest memories are of music, singing little duets with my mom. You know, she says that at 2 years old, I was actually harmonizing. By four, I had this little wooden piano in my room that I would like write little songs for my sisters. So that's all I know. But it was only in the church. And I thought that would be the extent of it. And it wasn't until I went away to college and got a little taste of being in the studio and writing and producing, I was like, oh no, this is it. This is what I want to do. There's nothing else that makes me feel more alive. And so that's kind of how it started.
So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a little town, Bakersfield, California. It's a couple hours north of Los Angeles.
And then when you went to college, where was that?
Huntsville, Alabama, a school called Oakwood University.
So, very great school,
yeah.
We know some people that went to
you
that
do.
School.
You do, you
like
do. Take
Brian
Six.
Like Brian McKnight
yes.
and all the guys from Take Six.
Those are my brothers, yeah. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Absolutely.
What was that experience like, and how? Because there's so many great musicians have come out of Oakwood. I know that that's kind of a melting pot, really, for musicians. What is it like to go to school at a formative part in your own career, where you're with people who are so involved in the music?
You know, it was almost like going into another world. You know, because it's my faith is Seventh Day, and so there's something about how we're raised. We're very conservative. It's a very conservative faith. And so I was only allowed to listen to gospel music. I couldn't even listen to secular, except Stevie Wonder and Whitney,
Stevie gets a pass.
Stevie always gets a pass. But, you know, so I listened to Take Six growing up. I listened to the Winans, the Clark Sisters, Commission, the Hawkins family, you know, so that's what molded me. So when I went away to school and all of those people kind of had that same kind of upbringing, I think there's something that's special that really happens because of that. And I don't know what it is. It's mixed in with a lot of classical. I listened to a lot of classical growing up as well. And it almost creates this little niche that is almost what has become known as the Adventist sound. And so Take Six has it, Brian has it, and we all kind of are cut from that same cloth.
Yeah, and I think you guys have ushered in a whole new era of music, really, if you think about it. You know, in the past when people said that, you know, I'm a gospel artist, I mean, it really meant that you were in a niche. But today, that has been expanded so wonderfully. I think some of the best music that I'm hearing these days is coming from that corner.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I love the fact that it's not so much in a box the way it used to be. Because I, you know, me growing up in the church, someone would expect me to do a gospel album because that's a big, such a big part of my story, being in the church. I was the church musician at 12 years old, you know, been playing for myself.
Girl, were you playing piano at church at 12?
I was playing piano. I was the church musician, you know.
I bet some of the older sisters and brothers were mad at you about that.
They were happy because they didn't have to pay me. I was just there playing for the choirs and then directing choirs. And, you know, it's one of those things where I learned that I can still be a child of God and still own who I am, the identity. And I don't always necessarily have to sing gospel music. It's so God is so much bigger than that.
That is true.
Yeah.
And if you really think about it, if our mission is to spread the word, is to spread the gospel, you know, we do that. We've got to be able to speak to people who are not there yet.
Absolutely.
And I think that opening up the music in that way has brought in people in the side door. A lot of times they might not have known where they were going, and here we are, you know, ending up in a beautiful place, but also with some really wonderful music. So many great songwriters and arrangers and creative people in the field today.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
All right, so now what happened after college?
Oh, goodness. Well, after college, then I was, you know, going to try to do the songwriting thing. And so I joined up with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, who are like my godfathers, and learned so much from them. I mean, Terry is the comp king. You know, he will get the best vocal, and Jam just knows how to bring the magic. And so I learned so much about songwriting and producing from them. And that led to
where were you living then?
I was in Orange County then. I had moved from Bakersfield. My family was had relocated to Orange County. And so I went along with them. And I started writing, and I wrote a song for Shanti Moore. Called I Don't Think It's Supposed to Be This Hard, and it ended up being you guys played it here. I got my little house from that song. So I ended up writing and producing a couple songs on that album, Love the Woman, and then I ended up writing a song for a film called Jumping the Broom. I wrote a song called Love Fell on Me, and I thought I was gonna be, you know, I was very fulfilled in the songwriting producing, and my family and friends, they were like, you can't just be behind. You have to be the artist, too. And so, you know, I kept getting opportunities where it was kind of like pushing me out front, like kind of weird random things. Like I sang for Sherry Shepherd's wedding, you know, and, you know, just weird things that were like putting me. And then I ended up performing at the White House. I did a tribute to Burt Bacharach and Hal David, and Stevie was really instrumental in getting me to that. I didn't even have an album, and it just kind of just kept pushing. Then I did, you know, Whitney passed, and I did this tribute to her just from my heart, and it ended up kind of going a little viral, and you know, to where her daughter found me and said it was the best tribute she'd ever heard. She felt her mom's spirit when she heard me sing. And it just, all of these things just kind of kept pushing me to the forefront. I said, fine, I'll do an album. <You know? laughs> So I called it Love Fell on Me. And Brian McKnight was on it. Stevie was on the title track. We used the song from the film Jumping the Broom, Love Fell on Me. That was the title track of that first album.
Gee, why didn't you get somebody good for your first album? You know what I mean?
You know, I'm just starting out. I wrote a song with Nard and Michael Walden, you know, because all these Whitney connections were happening, and so her family was reaching out, her best friends, and Narda, who obviously was so instrumental in her early recordings, he found me, and we just had an immediate connection, and we just, you know, I did some dates with him when his book was coming out. We performed at the Grammy Museum when his book was released. And so I just, you know, it just kind of came together, and I put out my first album called Love Fell on Me.
And here we are.
And here we are.
And here we are today. And I know, I mentioned the collaborations. You know, I've heard your work with a number of different people. How important is it to you and to developing your career that you do work with others? And what is that experience like in terms of learning and growing as an artist?
You know, I think it can be so defining to just who you even become, because when you're isolated, you're an island. I know that there's so many people like that. I mean, Diane Warren, she writes alone, you know, and I know she does collaborative things as well. But I have found that when you connect with another spirit, another heart that loves music, there's something magical happens in that connection, because you're bringing two hearts together, two spirits, two musical backgrounds, two childhoods, I mean, or even more. But I do love it when it's two, because there's something so magical and spiritual, I think, that happens when you have, it's like a marriage, and collaborating with people like Stevie and Brian, and, you know, now not necessarily in a duet form, but I'm touring right now with David Foster and Dave Koz, the two Daves. Of course, Kirk Whalum and people like that. It's like there's something just so amazing that happens when we bring both of our gifts together.
It is true. And now you're going to bring your gift to television. And we can hardly wait for that. Doing a taping right here in Los Angeles for PBS on November 18th and 19th.
Yeah.
And let's talk about that. How did that happen? That is awesome. Is this part of the Great Performances?
You know,
or what?
I hate to say, I'm not sure.
They said, be there.
Because I love.
Cool.
Exactly. Because I love Great Performances. Oh, my goodness. But I have a long, you know, kind of history with PBS. So as I told you before, I did the PBS special it was the Gershwin Prize is what they call it. It was in
and
performance.
And that was for Bacharach.
For Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And then some years later, I did it for Ray Charles as well. And then just recently, I did a Grammy salute to music legends, to Tina Turner. And that just aired maybe about a month or so ago. So finally, I said, let's just do my own thing. You know, I love PBS. I was watching Sesame Street as a girl. Mr. Rogers. All that. And so we just had this special. And, you know, I also forgot about another one PBS special I did with Zoltán Maga and David Foster in Budapest the top of this year. So, you know, I just kept connecting with the producers, and we said, listen, you know, we love you. We want to do your own special. And so I just recently connected with Quincy Jones, and I actually did a residency in Dubai for 2 months. He just opened a club in Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had this connection, and you know, time passed, and he would always bring me in to do, you know, little events at his home. And finally, one day he said, let's just make this official. And so I'm now officially one of his artists with his management company, QJP, Quincy Jones Productions. And so he is presenting me. It's the show is going to be called Quincy Jones Presents an Evening with Shaleya. And so I'm just absolutely.
So what are you going to do?
Well, I finished a project. I just finished a project. There's so many little paths that God has allowed me to go through. But I met the legendary songwriters, Alan and Marilyn Bergman. And so I did this project, you know, long story short, we met at this event I did for ASCAP called We Write the Songs through Narda Michael Walden. And we just had this instant connection. I told them how much I loved them. I loved Yentl, which is one of my favorite soundtracks, which they won the Oscar for. And I sang this really rare song for them called Will Someone Ever Look at Me That Way. And by the end of the performance, they were crying. I was crying. And Narda said, Shaleya should do an album of your songs. So
that's a lot of great material to choose from there.
Goodness.
My goodness.
So I've been in this industry and you know, sometimes people say a lot of things and they said, oh, we should do it. But I didn't really think they were really serious. By the time I got home, they had picked 12 songs from their catalog, some songs that have never been released before, and said, we really want to partner up with you and do this project. And so I just finished the last song a couple months ago. And
you got a lot going on, I just want to say. You might have realized that. But
so we're going to do some material from that for the show, you know. But then I just want to just do some classic songs. Of course, I want to do songs from Quincy's catalog because he is
exactly.
Presenting me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to do Misty, his version that he did for Sarah Vaughan, which is my absolute favorite in the world. In fact, I couldn't believe that the arrangement that I had was so in love with all this time, he had done that arrangement. So we're going to do that. I would love to do maybe a few of my songs as well, you know, kind of show that I am a songwriter.
Yeah, you better have some of your songs.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's not miss that opportunity, please.
Okay.
Don't sleep on that.
Pat said it. We're doing it.
Don't sleep on that.
And then I also want to show just, you know, my gospel roots too and show that part because that's a big part of my story. And just have a great, great night of music.
Very important to remember where the power comes from and where the glory goes back to. That's for real, right there.
That's it.
And I know that your faith has probably made a big difference in just your belief in yourself. And I do believe that we are guided to where we're supposed to be. There's something kind of magical to me about creating music, as you alluded to. It's a spiritual kind of thing, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I feel like it's the closest we get to God besides, like, childbirth, which to me is the number one thing. And then, but being able to create something out of nothing, I think about before a song is written and you write a song and then it touches millions of hearts. It has that potential. There's nothing more powerful than that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it isn't by accident either. You know, you think about the intention of our lives and how we lead our lives with intention. And I think that sometimes just being in the right place at the right time, just because you said yes. Hmm. You know, it's so important to learn in life how to say yes. You never know what's going to happen for you. You know, sometimes the people you meet are just doorways to another thing. And you can see just in listening to your story, I mean, I hear a lot of that happening. Mm-hmm. So you are here not by mistake.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a design going on in there.
I feel
somewhere.
It. I feel it. And it's interesting you said the power of yes. I also recently have also understood the power of no. And that has been really, really defining for me because there's a lot of good opportunities, but it wasn't propelling me forward. So I've been very, very selective in these last few years of how I'm betting on myself. And making decisions that are going to propel me forward and not just keep me where I am. And it's just a great fun time. It's a great opportunity to travel, do whatever. I want to make sure that it's propelling me forward. So it's a combination of yeses and nos that are pulling me to my destiny.
Well, I want to say so far, so good.
Oh, and I
plan to be there when you do your private show taping concert for PBS.
Oh, not
right
planning.
Here
you've got to be
Southern
there.
California. And then we plan to let everybody know about it when it airs.
Because
this
you.
Is an amazing opportunity, but a well-deserved one. And I think things are just really getting started for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How can
much.
People find you online or social media?
So I keep it pretty consistent. Shelea Music. So Shelea Music. And that's on Instagram. That's my Facebook fan page and also my website.
And we're going to upload a couple of videos for those of you listening to this conversation so you get a chance to see and hear for yourself the next big thing.
Oh.
Shelea, coming to your TV very soon and something that's well worth waiting for.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And hopefully you'll be back to see us again sometime soon.
Oh, not hopefully. I will be back if you'll have me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.